Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the devil and God's Son, Jesus Christ. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, God, for this awesome day that you've given us of all of your grace and all of your mercy, God. Father, I thank you for you having called us before the foundations of the world to be your children, be your sons and daughters, God. Father, I thank you for the boldness that you place within us, God, to be able to have absolute confidence in your word and know that we can stand on that word and claim those promises in your word. And Father, I thank you for you allowing us get much glory for you as we win many souls back to the kingdom and snatch them out of the trap and snare of the world so that they don't have to suffer in doubt, worry, and fear, sickness, disease, and death any longer. Father, I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Healing.
help me sing it.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the eyes.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the devil and God's son, Jesus Christ, because God said that he put life and death, and then he told us and encouraged us and exhorted us and advised us to live life. But because love is voluntary, love is driven by free will, it is up to us to choose life or to choose death. And we know that death comes through disobedience. And this is what leads us to focus our attention on the devil. And I'll tell you, quite honestly, I intentionally avoid teachings about the devil specifically, because all of this nonsense started by the devil seeking attention in the first place. You have to remember that when he deceived Eve, he was an unknown entity to mankind. Adam and Eve didn't know anything about the devil. The devil was a nobody as far as mankind was concerned. But after Adam and Eve sinned, after Adam sinned, the devil took a new place in the existence in mankind's future. The devil all of a sudden became front and center. And all of a sudden, this focus on an unknown entity, this focus on what was nothing more than a fallen angel before Adam sinned, turned the devil into the ruler of earth, because Adam transferred his authority legally to the devil when he sinned. And so God tells us, I've set before you life and I've set before you death. And then he exhorts us to choose life. Well, we know that life comes through obedience to God. And this is best exemplified in Jesus Christ's obedience to his heavenly Father in submitting even unto death, the death of the cross. And when God raised his son from the dead after being in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights dead, and seated him at his own right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, afterward, the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within you and I, so that once again, we could dwell with God. We could speak to God. We could fellowship with God and his son. And we are in a place of privilege when we say no to the devil and say yes to God. And how we say yes to God is by listening to the words of his son, Jesus Christ, and obeying them. And when we say yes to the words of God's son, Jesus Christ, and we obey them, then we enter into fellowship with God and his son, Jesus Christ. And this gives us life more than abundantly. And when I say it gives us life more than abundantly, first off, that's spiritual. So spiritually, we have more than abundant life because we have the fullness of the power, the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us. God is within us. Jesus Christ, his son, is within us. The Holy Spirit is within us, and nothing can prevail against that power. So spiritually, we are living a more than abundant life. Physically, we are living a more than abundant life because Jesus Christ was beat 3 times with whips, with pieces of bone and metal at the end of them, for our physical wholeness. So Jesus Christ's beatings before he was nailed to the cross was for our physical wholeness, our health and healing. And it speaks of us being healed by his stripes in the past tense. The price was already paid for your healing. All you have to do is believe and walk into that. And so spiritually, we're whole. We live a more than abundant life. Physically, we're whole. We live a more than abundant life. Then, mentally, as we study God's word, as we renew our mind to God's word, as we replace what we think, what we feel, what we believe, what we deserve with what the word of God says, then what we do is we begin to experience the more than abundant life mentally. The way that we think, the way that we process things is through the filter of God's word. And when we look at the world around us, information is coming from all different places during the information age. But the devil is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. But before I get to this discussion about the devil, I want to make it clear that we are not subject to this. And to complete this discussion about how we are living a more than abundant life that Jesus Christ was sent for us to have so that we can live a more than abundant life spiritually, we can live a more than abundant life physically, we can live a more than abundant life mentally, and then we can live a more than abundant life emotionally. And how we live a more than abundant life emotionally is by according to the law of love, which God says is above all, which means that we love God first with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we love ourselves as God commands us to, and then we love others, even unto our enemies. And what this does is it allows us to forgive even the worst and most vile offender, because we realize that there is no one who is going to offend us more than we have offended God in the course of our entire life. And God has forgiven us of all of our sin. So what he requires of us is to forgive others of their offenses and transgressions against us. And this gives us emotional wholeness because we are free to free others. We are free to forgive. We are not bound. We're not carrying around baggage of events that we couldn't possibly change if we wanted to, letting that take up space where our blessings are supposed to be, right? And this is one of the ways that the devil succeeds at destroying people's love is through unforgiveness. And the last aspect of the more than abundant life that people tend to focus on is financial wholeness. And the reality is, until you have spiritual wholeness, and then you have physical wholeness, your health, and then you have mental wholeness, your mind, and then you have emotional wholeness, your nerves, peace, then you can walk into financial wholeness and understand how to steward God's resources to allow you to fulfill God's purpose in your life, to do all that God has given you to do freely without worrying, because God's job to provide you with all that you need to do what you need to do for God, because you're on assignment. When a soldier goes to war, a soldier doesn't pay for his boots or for his clothing or weapons or training or food or transportation. He doesn't pay for any of that. He goes where he is sent, where she is sent. And we, as soldiers in the kingdom of God, we go where we're sent. We do what God gives us to do. And it's God's job to provide whatever we need to get the job done. So I want to share with you tonight some information about the devil, because just as Jesus Christ came for us to live a more than abundant life, the devil came in order to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal our faith, to kill our hope, to destroy our love, and he did that. He steals our faith through unbelief. He kills our hope through fear. He destroys our love through unforgiveness. But when we understand what the Bible has to say about the devil, then we can stand in our rightful place. See, there was a time before Jesus Christ was sent, Jesus Christ appeared, when the devil had real power. He had power over hell, over the fallen angels. He had power over all of the earth that was transferred to him from Adam. And The only power he didn't have was the power in heaven that God had. And when Jesus Christ fulfilled his mission, it said God gave his son Jesus Christ the power in heaven that he had, gave his son Jesus Christ the power over hell that the devil had, and gave his son Jesus Christ the power over earth that the devil had. So all of the power that the devil used to have for those 4,000 years before Jesus Christ showed up was removed from him. And now the devil is legally without power. But for those who don't know, for those who don't believe, they actually think that the devil is the equivalent of God. They think that the devil is God's foe, God's polar opposite. And the devil is just a fallen angel. And he continues to fall lower and lower and lower and lower. And it says that someday, after this is all said and done, that those of us in the kingdom are going to look down on his lowest level and say, is this the one who made the kingdoms of the earth quake with fear? That's where we're going to be. That's what we're going to be saying about this one that pretends to have the power that he used to have before Jesus Christ stripped him of the power over hell and the power over earth, and was also conferred with the power of his heavenly Father. And so all power has been given to Jesus Christ until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has placed all of his enemies under his feet. And that's important for us to understand so that we don't make the mistake of thinking that the devil is God's counter or opposite. I want to share some verses with you tonight that is going to make it clear who we are, who the devil is, and what the devil is. I'll give you an example of some of the misunderstandings that people have about the devil. One is some people don't believe the devil, and many of those are people who don't believe there's a God, and these people are mistaken. And then you have people who believe that there's a devil and he's in hell, and these people are usually not Christians. They haven't read the Bible, so they don't know that the devil is not in hell. The devil is in heaven before the throne of God, accusing the brethren daily. That's what the Bible says, right? And so now, when we read what the Bible has to say about the devil, God is preparing us. He's giving us the information that we need to know so that we can be successful when we encounter the devil and those who serve him and his influences, and be successful. We can overcome. We can conquer. We can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through the love of Christ. Look at what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and the first part of verse 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, think about this. Lions, you've seen lions hunt gazelle and wildebeest, all other kinds of wildlife. And they don't always catch their prey. And sometimes there are many lions, but this is saying the lion, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so then the question is, whom may the devil devour, right? It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So God is telling us to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, because if you don't, then you might fall into that category of those whom the devil may devour, right? And if the devil steals our faith through unbelief, then unbelief is one of the tools that the devil uses in order to consider whether we are of those that he may devour or not, right? Do we believe or do we not believe what the Word of God says? We know that also he kills our hope, and that he does through fear. But we know that the Bible, the Word of God, says perfect love casts out fear, right? And so if we are standing on the Word of God, we're operating out of the promise of God, and then we understand that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that if we do anything and we don't do it in love, it's of no profit to us, right? So if he's trying to, are we going to give our rewards away to the devil because we don't know or don't believe or don't obey what the Word of God says? No, we are not going to put ourselves in that position to be in that category of whom the devil may devour. It says we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, right? And we do that by obeying God's word. And he destroys our love through unforgiveness. And so whenever, and that's why God tells us, he's like, hey, before you come to pray to me, if you have anything in your heart against your brother or sister, forgive them, then come and pray, or come and make your offering, right? Because that unforgiveness is going to destroy your love. It's going to take away your reward. It's going to be of no profit. Anything you do that say you're doing for God is of no profit to you if you are not forgiving. Look at what it says here in James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, it's interesting because many times in church, what we hear is, so many church songs that you hear about running from the devil and almost behaving in a defensive way, right? The best defense is a good offense. And the best offense is right here in James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. That means push back, go in the opposite direction of the devil. And it says he will flee from you if you resist him, right? Instead of submitting to the devil and giving in to the devil and entertaining the devil and hanging out with the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and watch the devil flee from you. See, that's where you see how much power you actually have, because the devil is the father of lies. The only thing the devil has ever really created is the lie itself. And you have to see that for you to resist the devil is you walking in the fullness of your power and authority that you have through the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you. And the devil will flee from you, so that fear has to go. Unbelief has to go. Unforgiveness has to go. Sickness has to go. Disease has to go. Death has to go. All of those things that are destroying your more than abundant life flee when you resist the devil and you submit to God. I want us to take a look at what it says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 10 to 18, because God is telling us exactly what we need to know, exactly what we need to hear, so that we can be strong in the Lord. Look at what it says here, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? So our strength is in God and in his might, right? And it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So it's the armor of God that prepares us to be able to resist the devil, as it said in James 4:7. See, in James 4:7, it said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. The devil will run from you. The devil will respond to the power that's within you by fleeing when he sees you resisting him and submitting to God. See, it takes humility in order to humble yourself to God and say, I don't know everything. God, I trust you. God, I believe you have this all worked out. God, I don't see or understand how it's going to work out, but I believe your promises in your word, and I'm not going to fear. I'm going to do what I can do, and then I'm going to put it in your hands and let you do the things that I cannot do. I'm going to let God work it out, because only God knows. Only God sees the things that we do not see. But we do know, and we do see this in God's word, that we're strong in the Lord in the power of his might. We know there's nothing that can prevail against God, our Heavenly Father, right? It says, so put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, think about armor. Armor covers you while you're in battle to protect your body from harm while you are about the business of war. Look at what it says in this next verse. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we don't wrestle against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, it's spiritual wickedness in high places that we come against. So if we are going to come against something spiritual, then we have to come against it spiritually. That means we have to be building up our inner man. We have to be building up our Holy Spirit on our most holy faith. We have to be speaking in tongues. We have to be praying. We have to be singing in tongues. We have to be singing with our understanding. We have to be studying God's word. We have to be fellowshipping with like-minded believers. We have to be fasting and praying, right? Look at what it says here in the next verse. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So your loins would be that midsection where your guts are, right? Having your loins girt about with truth. Think about a girdle, right? Tighten your midsection. We know that the truth is what makes us whole, right? It says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects your vital organs, your heart, and your lungs, right? All those things right there, right? It covers the breastplate of righteousness. And we know that we are the righteousness of God through his son, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us the righteousness of God. So one of the lies that the devil will tell you is because you made a mistake that you are not righteous. And that's why God gives us new mercy at the beginning of every day to go along with the new grace so that we can not get caught up in our shortcomings, but we can get back and align ourselves with God's word and continue to choose life instead of death, right? We can continue to seek to obey God instead of obeying the flesh. Look at what it says in this next verse. And it says, and having your feet shod with the preparation of peace. See, your feet are covered with the preparation of the gospel, the good news of peace. See, the peace of God is through his son, Jesus Christ, and the fact that salvation is available to those who are without salvation. And so the good news of peace to those who are living in a world of fear and unbelief and doubt and worry and unforgiveness and death and disease and sickness and illness, all these things, right? The good news that we have is of peace and to let people know that salvation is available through God's Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent and died, raised from the dead by his Heavenly Father, God Almighty, and given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us when we make him Lord. So when you make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of your life, that is the good news. That you can be free too. Others can be free too. Look at what it says. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. See, a shield is something that can be raised up against an arrow, against a spear, against a sword. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, right? So the devil can just be there shooting arrows, shooting arrows. Doubt, worry, fear, doubt, worry, fear, doubt, worry, fear, unbelief. And we quench those fiery darts. And so it's not just arrows. They're arrows that are lit with fire that are coming toward you. Now, what's interesting about this is that in darkness, an arrow that's coming to you that's lit with fire is something that is a serious threat, because the fear as it approaches you is as bad as it actually hitting you. But if you have the shield of faith, before it gets to you, you rise, you raise your shield of faith up, and you're no longer looking at the flaming arrow that suggests it can overtake you when God says that it cannot prevail against him because he will not allow it to, right? It says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, it didn't say that your shield of faith might be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall absolutely be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's confidence right there, right? And then it says, and take the helmet of salvation. See, salvation covers our head, our mind, our most vital of organs, right? And the sword, which is the word of God. See, this says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And the sword is what we come against our enemy with actively. The sword just handles the business against the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the sword of the Spirit of God that is our sword that allows us to come against the principalities, come against the powers, come against the rulers of the darkness of this world, come against the spiritual wickedness in high places. See, we don't come against spiritual wickedness in high places by giving them free advertising, right? Talking about them. We come against them with the word of God, and we say the word has to say about where what is available to these people who are ensnared and trapped in the world. See, we share with them the good news of the gospel of peace, the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and that if these people make Jesus Christ their master, they too can be children of God just as we are. So now it says, praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. Look at this. All prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, right? So we're to speak in tongues at all times. We're to be praying in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, right? So I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in Indianapolis. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in the Ukraine. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in Australia. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in Hungary. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in Ghana. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in South Africa. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in Kenya. I'm supposed to be praying for the saints in Germany, in France, in England, in the United Kingdom, rather, in the Netherlands, in Finland, in where? I said Ghana, I know I said Kenya, I know I said South Africa, right? In Nigeria, and in France, in Germany. We are to be praying for the saints in Canada, in Japan, in Mexico, in Brazil, and most of all, the saints in the United States. They need prayer more than anybody. But pray for the saints in Russia, right? Pray for the saints in places we rarely think of. But it says that praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. This is one of the ways that we resist the devil, is through prayer. And when you are praying, your mind cannot be taken up with doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, and unforgiveness. If you're praying, because your mind is doing one thing at a time, you're either focused on God or you're focused on the devil. And when you focus on God, then you have to say what God's Son Jesus Christ said. You have to meditate on the words of God's Son Jesus Christ. When you do that, you're going to be blessed. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, right? So Jesus Christ tasted death for every man in order to undo the power that the devil used to have, right? The devil used to have power. But now the devil has no power because all power has been given to God's Son, Jesus Christ. But it's like a game of poker. If the devil can convince you that he can still win, which he cannot, but he can bluff. That's a part of the game of poker, bluffing, right? And if he can get you to believe something other than what God's word says, which is that he has already lost, it was checkmate after Calvary, after God raised his Son Jesus Christ from the dead. That was it. Now is just the fulfilling of prophecy, right? Look at what it says in verse 14 and 15 of Hebrews chapter 2. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus Christ destroyed the power of the devil. He destroyed the one that had the power of death, the devil, through taking part in death himself. Look at what it says here. It says, and deliver them whom through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, what makes you a slave, what places you in bondage is the fear of death. And Jesus Christ removes that from us. But those who live in fear of death find themselves subject to the devil. who has succeeded through unbelief and fear and unforgiveness and stealing, killing, and destroying and love. So what God wants for us is what it says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Look what it says in verse 15. It says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly over them," right? So we have to understand that when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he made an open show of the principalities and powers. He spoiled them openly, and he showed that their day is done. Their influence, their days are numbered. Look at what it says in Colossians 1:13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." So this is speaking of God having delivered us from the power of darkness and having translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. A powerful verse for us to really hold on to know that we're delivered from the power of darkness. So whenever unbelief tries to creep in, whenever fear tries to creep in, whenever unforgiveness tries to creep in, we need to see that as the devil. That's the devil to us. See, even though the devil's before the throne of God, he has soldiers, he has demons under him, but you have to understand that those devil spirits, those demons, those daimonion, whatever you want to call them, they are less than the number of angels that God has working on our behalf. Remember when it said a third of the angels were cast out with the devil when he tried to overthrow God? Well, that means that two-thirds of the angels, twice as many, were with God and did not try to overthrow God with the devil. And we have twice as many angels working on our behalf as the devil has working against us, trying to get us to not believe, trying to get us to live in fear, trying to get us to not forgive. But we're not going to do that. We're going to stand on the promises of God's word. Look at what it says here in Revelation 12:11. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death," right? See, we're not afraid to live for God. We're not afraid to die for God. We're not afraid, period, because we know that the next thing that we see will be Jesus Christ when he returns. If we perish here on earth before Jesus Christ returns, it says that the dead in Christ will be raised first when Jesus Christ returns, and then those who are alive will be changed, and we will meet him, Jesus Christ, in the air together. Look at what it says in 1 John 4:1-4. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So what this is telling us is that the Spirit of God confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And that is key to our salvation. But the Antichrist says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. And those who say that are not of God. So we have to understand that we are of God. We do believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And then we know that the Holy Spirit that is within us is greater than the devil who's in the world. Jesus Christ within us is greater than the devil in the world. God within us is greater than the devil in the world. And so now to understand that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, right? More than conquerors, not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. And one of the things we conquer is our own fear. One of the things we conquer is unbelief. One of the things we conquer is unforgiveness by having the whole armor of God on, right? So that we have our loins girt about with truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet covered with the preparation of the good news of peace. We have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit. And we pray always in the Spirit for all the saints. And see, our prayers have power. So when we begin to pray what we read in the Word, we're simply coming into agreement with God. And it says when we delight in God's Word, then we will have the desires of our heart. God will give us the desires of our heart. He will give us what to want. He will give us the menu of things that are available to us to walk into, right? And that's why it's important that you study God's Word, because you won't even know how to pray if you don't study God's Word, right? But for what you don't know, when you speak in tongues in your heavenly prayer language, all that's covered, because the mysteries you speak to God are things that you don't necessarily know. They're not things you need to know. But when you speak in your heavenly prayer language, it's happening. You're having the impact in areas that you have no knowledge of. Look at what it says here in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 19. It says, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Remember when I told you Satan was in heaven, right? Jesus Christ said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He had to come down and see what was going on when he saw the 70 operating in the same power that Jesus Christ was walking in. He's like, hey, wait, there's something going on here, right? And it said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this is important to understand that Jesus Christ gave his disciples power over the enemy. And it said he gave them power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if Jesus Christ said that and promised that, then why are we in unbelief? Why are we in fear? Why are we in doubt? Why are we in unforgiveness, right? We have to study God's Word so that we can renew our mind and stand on God's Word. Look at what it says here in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I just want every day to live your best life for God. I want to encourage you today to stand on God's promises and know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host Lester Carver with Tuesday Night Teachings. Be ye transformed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you for you blessing someone with what they've heard tonight and allow them to walk in the fullness of all of your promises to them. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
I can hear from you.
If I can hear,
then I know what
that I